You are Locked On Dodgers, your daily Los Angeles Dodgers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
So I say D, I say D-O, D-O-D, D-O-D-G, D-O-D-G-E-R-S, team, 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 oh.
Yo, 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 Dodger fans, welcome to Locked On Dodgers. We are part of the Locked On Podcast Network, the number one local sports daily podcast network. Locked On, your team every day. This is the daily podcast covering the Los Angeles Dodgers, bringing you the smart fans' perspective on our boys in blue. I'm Vince Samperio, Chavez Ravine Fiends, and we are back together. Jeff Snyder of Baseball Essential. Jeff, how are you doing?
Ahoy, hoy, Vincent. I'm doing good. How are you doing?
Good. We haven't talked in a while because last week we recorded all our episodes ahead of time, or most, the last three at least.
The last three,
and then
yeah.
We had an episode yesterday, which was very informative and fun. So we're back and we're here, and there's not too much to talk about still, but we are going to.
Turns out baseball still hasn't started yet.
Yeah, but we are going to find a way to fill your time. And keep doing it every day, as you know, to expect us. Today, on today's show, we're going to talk a little bit about the agreement that MLB and the MLBPA came up with. Pay a little honor to Jimmy Wynn. And then answer a couple questions that we got from you listeners. But before that, a quick reminder to subscribe to Locked On Dodgers, wherever you get your podcasts. And when you get in your car, or you're just at home, tell your smart device or home device or whatever you have to play podcasts Locked On Dodgers. All right, Jeff, you alluded to Jimmy Wynn a little bit yesterday. I would assume you have a little more to speak on him than I do. He did pass away. He did play with the Dodgers in 1974 and 1975, had two really good years. His nickname is Toy Cannon because his bat had a lot of pop for his small size. What else you got for us in the Jimmy Wynn department?
So in 1974, he was an all-star. He finished fifth in the MVP voting. He had more walks than strikeouts, which, you know, people do sometimes, but usually not with as many walks and strikeouts as he had. He had 108 walks and 104 strikeouts. In his career, he had almost as many walks as strikeouts, 1,224 walks in only 15 seasons, and not, they weren't all full seasons, basically 12 full seasons and three partial seasons. So he averaged basically 100 walks a year. His 162 game average was 103 walks, and they had 1,427 strikeouts. So, but one thing that I noticed in that 74 season, he had 108 RBIs and 108 walks. And did you know he's one of only seven players in history to have the same number of RBIs and walks with at least 100 of each?
I did not know that.
So there's some big names on here. Jason Giambi, the most ever, 137 walks and 137 RBIs in 2000. Mickey Mantle had 102 of each in 1954. Gary Sheffield, 101 of each for the Dodgers in 1999. And then some more interesting names. Harlan Clift in 1938 had 118 of each for the St. Louis Browns. Larry Doby for the White Sox in 1956, 102. And Jason Thompson in 1982 for the Pirates, 101 of each. And then Jimmy Wynn, 108 of each. Doesn't mean anything, but it's interesting. But yeah, he was, I think what I heard was he has the highest career WAR of anyone who didn't get a single Hall of Fame vote. He had 55.8 WAR, probably not a Hall of Famer. But I mean, on a per season basis, he was pretty outstanding. His 55.8 WAR in only basically 8,000 plate appearances. Jimmy Wynn, really sad to see him go. He was only 78 years old. Just turned 78. So farewell to the Toy Cannon, and he was only a Dodger for 2 years, but he had a memorable Dodgers career. The Dodgers, you know, played in the World Series in both of those years? I can't even remember now. But, no, just 74. He played for the Dodgers in the World Series for the Dodgers when they lost to the A's in 1974. So, yeah, that's Jim Nguyen. Just thought he deserved a little more time than I gave him on yesterday's episode.
Yeah, there you go. Okay, so, all right, the only really news we've had the last week or so is that MLB and MLBPA Players Association came through on an agreement for kind of how they would handle 2020. The main thing is service time. The players, if there is no season in 2020, the players will still get a year of service time, which means if 2020 is canceled, there's a potential that Mookie Betts might never suit up for the Dodgers, technically. And the other stuff is, you know, has to do with money. The players were fronted some money in case, you know, that they don't have to give back if the season doesn't happen. I think the biggest thing that affects the Dodgers are really those things. You know, they kind of agreed to play through November if need be to try to get as much of the season they can as possible. The MLB draft was probably the most affected so far. They agreed to cut it down to, if they want, to 5 rounds this year, and I think to 20 rounds next year. They're pushing back the international signing period to January. So, you know, the kind of the players that aren't really players in the MLB yet kind of got a little bit screwed in this deal. But, Jeff, what did you think of kind of what the deal is and if there's any more you have to add that I missed?
In this deal and in every other deal that Major League Baseball and the union have ever put together. Yeah, the guys who aren't in the union yet don't get much representation by the union, believe it or not. But yeah, the most notable thing for the Dodgers right now is the Mookie Betts thing. That, and not just Mookie Betts, Justin Turner. If there's no season, Justin Turner has potentially played his last game as a Dodger. You know, free agency is coming. But Mookie Betts, obviously, what they traded as much as they did for him, expecting 1 year of him, and they may get 0 years of him. You know, that was what we talked about when they first shut down the season on our Friday the 13th episode a couple weeks ago. That was one of the things we talked about. And I was just thinking, I was talking to some friends the other night, and I thought the Dodgers just need to get an extension worked out, because when Betts does become a free agent, Dodgers are going to be his main suitor anyway. The Red Sox just traded him because they can't afford him. The Yankees already have 500 outfielders. And so, I mean, the Dodgers are the only rich team that's going to be in the running for him. And so Friedman just needs to get on the phone with Mookie and say, look, Mookie, I know you want to hit free agency, but what you really want is to get filthy rich. So let's make it happen, and let's work out a 10-year extension right now and just get the job done. And then that would give us a little happy news in these dark times.
Yeah, yeah. Although, obviously, they can talk, but nothing official could happen, I don't think, until they kind of start the season back up. But, yeah, there's definitely some incentive, maybe a little on both sides, for that to happen. Yeah, the other thing we can maybe get into is, you know, just kind of what we think about it. But we'll do that. We'll save that for later in the week. We need stuff every day to talk about. And also the All-Star Game and potential neutral site World Series. So maybe we'll get into that later this week. We're going to cut it here, and we're going to come back and answer a few questions from you listeners. And one question that wasn't from the listeners, but that was kind of floating around on Twitter. But before that, let's talk about some food delivery. Obviously, right now, we're all at home, and, you know, some people don't want to leave the house at all. Some people want to limit the times they leave their house. And you can do so with Postmates. You know, if you need some breakfast, some lunch, some dinner, you can call for delivery from Postmates. They don't just deliver, you know, burgers and sushi and pizza and whatever else. They can also get some grocery delivery, some, you know, delivery of whatever else you need, if whatever is available in your area. Obviously, they're not going to create things out of thin air, but if you need them to go check the stores and get you some stuff, make sure you use Postmates. You can download the app on iOS or Android, find your favorites, and get anything you want delivered within the hour. And right now, you can get $100 of free delivery credit for your first 7 days if you download the app and use code LOCKEDON. That's code LOCKEDON for $100 of free delivery credit with no minimum purchase for your first 7 days when you download the Postmates app. Anything you need, anytime you need it, Postmate it. And if you order Postmates a little too much, you might hate stepping on the scale. But that's also possibly because you haven't met the right scale. A company called Withings produced the world's first smart scale, and it's the best. Tom's Guide rated Withings Body Plus the best overall smart scale of 2020. If you're looking to lose weight, willpower is the key, but you also need the right tools. And Withings smart scales are known for durability and exceptional user-friendly design. You can step on and data from every weigh-in will sync automatically to the app, which is available for iOS and Android. And it uploads via Wi-Fi or Bluetooth. A lot of smart scales don't have the Wi-Fi option, which means you need your phone with you. But that's not the case with the Withings Body Plus, and you'll get full weight, full body composition, weight trend, even a local weather report. The scale can support up to 8 users and even know who is who. So here's the deal. You can get 25% off a Withings Body Plus right now at withings.com for a very limited time. That's withings.com/MLB. For 25% off a Body Plus body composition scale. That's withings.com/MLB to get 25% off. And stay locked on Dodgers. All right, let's get into our obscure former Dodger. We obviously talked about Jimmy Winn in the first half of the show, so I went back to look at the years he played with the Dodgers. And I don't believe we've done this guy. And he's not that obscure of a name. But I don't think a lot of people remember that he was a Dodger, at least people of a younger generation, and that's Bill Buckner. Bill Buckner is obviously more famous for letting the ball go under his legs in the 1986 World Series in Game 6, where the Red Sox ended up losing that World Series and continued the curse of the Bambino. But actually, Billy Buckner came up with the Dodgers and was drafted by the Dodgers and played 8 years with the Dodgers from 69 to 76. He had 1 year where he got MVP votes, 1974, the same year as Jimmy Winn was there with the team. So, yeah, Billy Buckner went on to play with the Cubs and obviously the Red Sox and then the Royals and the California Angels. Had a nice redeeming moment a few years ago with the Red Sox when they invited him back and he got a standing ovation at Fenway Park. But yeah, I don't know how many people knew that he was a Dodger, but here we are. Bill Buckner, our obscure Dodger. Jeff, you got anything?
I do. I have a trivia question for you that is related to Bill Buckner. So Bill Buckner had 2 seasons with the Dodgers of 20 plus stolen bases. Actually, his only 20 stolen base seasons of his career. But when he came up, he was actually a fast guy. And he stole 31 bases and 28 bases with the Dodgers. One of 21 guys to have multiple 20 steal seasons with the Dodgers. And 4 of those 21 guys had at least 2 seasons of 20-plus stolen bases and at least 2 seasons of 20-plus home runs with the Dodgers. Can you name those 4 guys?
Matt Kemp, one of them?
Matt Kemp is one of them. He had 3 seasons of 20-plus stolen bases and 6 seasons of 20-plus homers.
They're not the same years, right?
Not necessarily, no.
Is Furcal one of them?
Furcal is not. Furcal had 3 seasons of 20-plus stolen bases, but never hit 20 home runs for the Dodgers.
Was Dusty Baker fast? Is he one of them?
Nope, Dusty Baker. Yeah, he had 4 seasons of 20-plus home runs, but never stole 20 bases.
It would be a long episode if I keep guessing.
2 of the guys were once traded for each other.
Sean Green?
Mm-hmm.
Raul Mondesi?
Yep.
Yeah, that was because last week's episode.
Yeah, Green and Mondesi. And the last one is he was traded during the 1988 season.
That I don't know.
Pedro Guerrero. Uh-huh. He had 4 years with 20-plus homers and 2 years of 20-plus steals. And, yeah, I just came across that, and I thought that was interesting. Juan Samuel had 2 years of 20-plus steals for the Dodgers but never hit 20 homers for the Dodgers. Just
good old Juan Samuel.
Yeah, just so you know.
All right, let's get into – got a few questions from listeners or a few relevant questions. One real quick, at Isabel G. 1945 asked, why did we lose to the Nationals? What went wrong? We've talked about that countless times.
I do think we need to give the Nats some credit. You know, we always talk about Dave Roberts screwing it up, but the fact is the Nationals had a very good pitching staff, and they had some really good hitters, you know, and so with their pitching
staff. We were both scared of them going into the series.
Yeah, yeah, with their pitching staff, there's no margin for error, and unfortunately, Dave Roberts made some errors. So.
Okay, let's see. First real question. A little bit of a downer, so we'll start with this one and then work our way up. At Carlos Acedo 25 asks, when do you think will be Kershaw's last year? We touched on this a little bit before, so we'll kind of run through it a little quicker, but yeah, when do we think is Kershaw's last year?
Yeah, so he's under contract for this season, if there is one, and next season, and then that's it for his current contract. Kershaw is so hard to read because it all depends on how good he, how well he's still pitching. You know, and there's potential that he could still be a top pitcher after his contract ends, at which point, you know, then it comes down to working something out with the Dodgers or potentially going somewhere else, which I would hate to see. But Kershaw is also the kind of guy I could see if he's not at the top of his game saying, okay, I'm ready to move on and do something else. I don't know. I mean, his life seems to revolve around baseball, but he also has a lot of other, you know, his charitable work and everything, and obviously has three kids now, and so I could see him pitching till he's 40, or I could see him retiring when he's, you know, 34 when this contract ends.
Yeah, we kind of talked about if the Dodgers win the World Series at all in the next 2 years, that he could call it quits after that. So, like I said, there's no really telling where he's at his mind, but at the very least, I hope he stays with the Dodgers if it's, you know, not too much of an ask from his side.
Yeah.
All right. Next question from at Blinding Wave asked, if we remember our first favorite Dodger, for him it was Hideo Nomo. Being of Japanese descent, it was cool seeing a Japanese Dodger on the screen as a kid. Jeff, I don't think we've ever talked about this specifically.
We might have on our old podcast, but probably not on this one. My first favorite Dodger was Mike Marshall, which I'm sure I've mentioned that, but maybe not in this context. Mike Marshall, the outfielder slash first baseman, who was not very good, not the Cy Young winning pitcher. But yeah, Mike Marshall, my brother's favorite player was Steve Sachs, because my brother played second base and was little and fast, a lot like Steve Sachs. My brother always wore number 3 because of Steve Sachs. And so I thought, well, if the little fast second baseman is his favorite player, then the big lumbering right fielder must be my favorite player. And so Mike Marshall became my favorite player because he was big and slow like I was, basically. And I always wanted to wear number 5 like he did. But unfortunately, in Little League, they just give you the number of jerseys there are of players on the team. And basically, they just go smallest to largest in order of numbers. So I basically always wore number 12, 13, or 14, depending on how many kids were on the team, because I was always the biggest kid on the team. So I never got to be number 5, but Mike Marshall was my favorite Dodger. And because of that, Brian Downing was my favorite Angel because he also wore number 5. So that was as I even tried to use Brian Downing's open stance for a while when I was 11 years old playing for the Angels in Little League. And I thought, well, I'm playing for the Angels, and I might as well use Brian Downing's stance. And it didn't make me any better hitter than I was before. So,
yeah. Mine is not as obscure. You know, when I was growing up, and I wasn't even a catcher early on. You know, I've always gravitated toward catchers later on after I started playing catcher more. But, you know, growing up in the 90s, it was Piazza. You know, my first Dodger. Favorite Dodger, you know, he was the guy back then in the mid-90s and mid to late 90s. So, you know, at that time, I don't even remember how I reacted when he got traded. I wasn't even sure. Obviously, there was more politics to it than anything else. But, yeah, you know, just that. I mean, the 90s are a weird time because the Dodgers weren't that good. But, you know, Piazza and Karros and Mondesi and Nomo and, you know, all the rookies of the year. And they just had fun players, but they just weren't a very good team.
Yeah, you were only 7 when he got traded. And I don't really remember much about, like, my first real memories of the Dodgers are from the year that I turned 8, that 1985 season is my first real memories. So yeah, Mike Marshall was playing for the Dodgers before that, but I didn't care. I started collecting baseball cards in 84. But yeah, I don't think I really had a favorite Dodger until I was probably 9 or 10.
Yeah. So, okay. Next question from our fellow brethren Locked On A's. He asks, how we're feeling in LA or, oh no, in La La Land about the Betts deal, given that it'll be a shortened season. So let's just say theoretically they get at least 100 games in, and let's just say for theoretically he leaves after, what are we feeling about the deal?
Yeah, if they get a shortened season in, I'll feel fine with it. You know, my concern is that they might not get a season in at all, and that would be a big old bummer, like we talked about, you know. But if they get in a shortened season, in fact, I think maybe Mookie's impact might be even bigger in a shorter season, because there is so much room for luck to come into play. I feel like maybe the Dodgers having a guy of Mookie's caliber might actually help them, I don't know, help them more in a shortened season. And really, they got him for the postseason anyway, but, you know, he might actually benefit them in the regular season more than he would have in a longer season when there's more sample size for the best team to win the game or to win the division.
Yeah, in a shortened season, I think it's better to have more, you know, quote-unquote sure things. So, you know, guys like Mookie Betts, who even in a down year are still really good. There's, you know, in a shortened season, I don't know if there's as much time for guys, you know, like Chris Taylor or Max Muncy to even come up. Or, you know, they talked about having like 29-man rosters when they first come back, so maybe there would be more room for it. But I think overall you want the best team available to you at all times. And obviously the Dodgers do have a lot of talent, and having that kind of for sure talent, not kind of needing to rely on a rookie or someone else to kind of take that burden, would definitely help.
Yeah, I think so too.
All right. So the other thing that was floating, or actually, we have one from another pal of ours, Locked On MLB's Sully. He asked, should the Dodgers have kept Zach Greinke? I don't know if we've ever answered this specifically, especially on this podcast, but Jeff, I'll let you sum it up.
Yeah. I think that for what Greinke was asking, you know, even though in hindsight, maybe, yeah, it would be nice if they had kept him, but he's still got, what, 2 or even 3 years left on his contract, and I mean, his fastball tops out at like 88 now. And so what they didn't anticipate was that Greinke would somehow figure out how to be an effective pitcher even without a fastball, but they correctly anticipated that he was going to lose his stuff. And so, and what we saw on opening day last year was that sometimes when you don't have stuff, good teams knock you around. And so even if they had Greinke to help them in the regular season, Greinke is not a guy at this point in his career who would really make me feel super confident going into a big postseason game. And so overall, I think I'm glad that the Dodgers aren't paying him $33 million a year or whatever he's making.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing with Greinke at the time was, you know, he kind of was open. I want to say he was open to negotiations before the season started. And then once the season started, he was not open to negotiations anymore. And I think, you know, I don't think even Zach Greinke would have expected to get the deal he got from the Diamondbacks. And I think, you know, maybe the Dodgers could have got him, retained him at a cheaper price if they had negotiated more before the season. But other than that, you know, would it have been nice to have him in the years following? Yes, but I don't know if he makes that difference that changes anything that happened the next couple years. I mean, they had Kershaw and basically Cy Young Greinke and still lost in the playoffs. So
yeah, and the fact is, going into the season, he hadn't been amazing. He had been good for the Dodgers, but I mean, his last season was the year that he had the 1.66 ERA and was just amazing. You know, before that, they didn't have a lot of incentive to really negotiate hard. Nobody could have predicted that he was going to be that good. And then since he left the Dodgers, I mean, he's got a 3.37 ERA in the last four seasons, and he's under contract for two more seasons. And so, I don't know, he's kind of he's a number three starter right now for me. And I'm glad the Dodgers are paying their number three starter $16 million a year instead of 30-something million a year.
Yeah. Okay, so the last one was...
$36
million? Yeah.
Holy crap. Yeah. Yeah, no thanks. I know it's not my money, but no thanks.
Yeah. All right, so the last one was not a question submitted, but it was something I was tagged in early, and it's a lot of these challenges and things have been going around social media since everybody's at home and on their phones. So this one was a player you hated on another team but loved when they joined your team, our team being the Dodgers, obviously. Mine was Brian Wilson, just based on more recent memory. That I didn't really put too much thought into it when I was thinking about it. But, you know, Brian Wilson was one of those guys. There's guys that are annoying because they're on another team. Like, you like them, but they're on your rival team, so you don't like them. And then there's guys that... even you just don't like them in general. Like Angel Pagan. If Angel Pagan came to the Dodgers, I still wouldn't like him. But Brian Wilson was one of those guys where I just didn't like him because he was on the Giants. And when he came to the Dodgers, he had, you know, the really good first year. And then not too much better after that. But it was still fun to have him around.
Yeah, I never cared much for Brian Wilson, even when he was a Dodger. He still had creepy eyes. Like, and I don't know, Brian Wilson's whole beard thing always just... seemed to me to be a cry for attention more than an actual part of his personality. Everything Brian Wilson did just screamed, "Look at me, look at me." And that kind of person, I'd rather not look at them. So even when he was a Dodger, I rooted for him, obviously, but I didn't like him much. You know, the closest one I could come up with was Juan Uribe. Cause I hated Uribe, even before he was a Giant. When he was on the 2005 White Sox, I remember just hating him. He just bugged the crap out of me. And then he went to the Giants. I hated him still. And then he came to the Dodgers, and honestly, I still hated him. I remember it was just a couple days apart. It was 2010, you know, the end of 2010. And within a couple days, the Dodgers non-tendered Russell Martin and then signed Juan Uribe. And I was like, they are really testing my loyalty as a Dodger fan to non-tender my favorite player and then sign one of my least favorite players in baseball. And then Uribe wasn't very good at times for the Dodgers, but eventually I became a Uribe fan. I liked his personality. Once he was playing well for the Dodgers, he was trying to mentor Yasiel Puig. I had a chance to talk to him in the locker room in spring training in 2015. And, you know, talked to him a little bit about Puig. And I just liked his attitude. I liked his playfulness with Hyunjin Ryu. And everything about Uribe became likable for me. And obviously the home run against the Braves didn't hurt either.
Yeah, yeah. Uribe's career as a Dodger is probably one of the most interesting ones. Maybe we can have an episode about that one day. Because, yeah, he definitely... was a very lucky guy of, based on what the time he was with the Dodgers. Because if he was like that, like with today's Dodgers, he wouldn't have lasted even half a season.
Yeah. And then you mentioned on Twitter the opposite way. Somebody you hated before they were a Dodger and then still hated when they came to the Dodgers. You know, like Angel Pagan, you said you would. And I liked your answer to that.
Yeah, Shane Victorino. Even if he would have came and been good with the Dodgers, he just was a guy that, you know, wouldn't say Napoleon complex, but, you know, he probably had to do a lot to get to where he was at. And I don't know. He just bugged me. There was not much about it. He just bugged me. And it didn't help that he sucked with the Dodgers, but I never really opened my heart to him anyways.
Yeah. And for me, kind of the same story, but Andrew Jones. I hated him when he was on the Braves. Like, I've mentioned this before, I think. Even though I know the Giants are supposed to be my least favorite team, if you ask me my least favorite team, my instinct is still to say the Braves. Because, you know, when I was growing up, the Braves and Dodgers were division rivals. And 1991, you know, I was a teenager. It was kind of peak baseball for me. And when the Braves beat out the Dodgers in that last series of the season, I still am mad at the Reds. I still believe the Reds deliberately lost that series to the Braves so that the Braves could beat the so the Braves could win the division over the Dodgers. And then Andrew Jones came up a few years later, and I just hated everything about him. I was mad in 2000, whatever year it was, five maybe, that he, people were saying he should have been MVP over Albert Pujols. I think that was the year that Ryan Howard actually won, and Pujols should have won, and Pujols was one of my favorite players at that time. And Ryan Howard and Andrew Jones were both getting consideration and made me dislike both of them because it was just like empty homers. I just thought Andrew Jones was good defensively and a lousy hitter, but just hit a bunch of home runs. And then he came to the Dodgers and just was awful and the worst thing you've ever seen. And so I felt vindicated and justified in hating him for so long before that.
Yeah. Different reasons for hating him, but you know, same things when they both got to the team.
Yeah, I had a hard time with all of these, though, because I actually don't hate many players. Like, you know, Madison Bumgarner, obviously I'm not a fan of. But even, like, Bumgarner's, now that Bumgarner's not on the Giants anymore, I don't know if there's anybody on the Giants who I would say I actively hate. I mean, I think Brandon Crawford is greasy looking, and, you know, but I don't hate him. I root against him, and he's ugly, but, you know, lots of people are ugly. And so, yeah, I don't hate a lot of ball players, but Uribe and Andrew Jones were two, I guess.
You just don't have hate in your heart, Jeff.
It's true.
You hate Bartolo.
No, I don't.
You hate the hype around him.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, you know, even when I hated the Braves, what I hated more was Braves fans. I don't hate Bartolo Colon. In fact, if anything, I feel like one of the reasons that I hate the hype around him is because it's so disingenuous. Because, I mean, when you take a guy who weighs 600 pounds and you nickname him Big Sexy, what you're doing is making fun of him, you know? And he's just kind of accepted that, I guess. But for me, I think it's disingenuous to call a guy who looks like a big fat toad Big Sexy.
Yeah,
I read a whole article about it once, Vince. I'll send you a link.
Yeah. All right, that will do it for today's episode. We ended up getting a lot more than I thought we were going to have, so that's good. We will be back tomorrow talking about something related to the Dodgers and or baseball. I don't think there'll be any breaking news in the next 24 hours, unfortunately, but we'll see what happens. Remember, you can subscribe to the show wherever you get your podcasts. Apple is the preferred way if you have it on your device. If you want to help us out, you can subscribe, obviously. Tell your friends, tell your families, download, listen, rate and review in your favorite podcast app. Also, Apple preferred there as well. While you're at it, go ahead and follow us on Twitter and Instagram at LockedOnDodgers. Jeff is on Twitter at SnyDog. I'm at Vince Samperio. You can call and leave us a voicemail or shoot us a text at 323-863-LOCK. That's 323-863-5625. Or shoot us an email, LockedOnDodgers@gmail.com. We're here every weekday morning, and we hope you'll be with us. When you get in your car, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Dodgers. And remember, you don't have to agree. You just have to listen. Have a good one.
Now, tell your smart device to play the most recent episode of Locked On Fantasy Baseball. Tally-hoo-hoo!
I say D-O, D-O-D-G-E-R-S. The team that's all heart, all heart and all thumbs, they're my Los Angeles, your Los Angeles, our Los Angeles. Do you think we'll really win the pennant? Bye!